Good day, and welcome to the Singing Machine Fiscal 2018 Earnings Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone phone. Please note this call may be recorded. I will be standing by should you need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Mr. Brendan Hopkins. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our annual 2018 Singing Machine Numbers Call. We have a brief safe harbor statement, and we'll get started. Except for historical information contained herein, the statements in this conference call are forward-looking statements that are made pursuant to the safe harbor provisions of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties which may cause our actual results in future periods to differ materially from forecasted results. With that said, I would like to turn the call over to Gary Atkinson, CEO of The Singing Machine.
Hi, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us this morning as we talk about our fiscal 2018 year-end numbers. My name is Gary Atkinson. I am the Chief Executive Officer of the company. I'm also joined this morning with Lionel Marquis, the company's CFO, and Bernardo Mello, our VP of Sales and Marketing. I'd like to start the call this morning with Lionel, just talking a little bit in more detail about some of the numbers that we released this morning. Then we'll turn the call over to Bernardo, who will give us an update in terms of some of the wins that we saw at retail this past fiscal year. And then we'll use the remainder of the call to talk a little bit about the outlook for this current fiscal year in a world without Toys R Us. And I'd like to keep about 10 minutes at the end of the call for Q&A session. So with that being said, I'd like to turn it over to Lionel Marquis, who will talk a little bit about the numbers.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to just make a comment going throughout. The net sales numbers are, and a lot of the numbers up front look really, really good. The disappointment, obviously, is with Toys R Us and the bankruptcy that kind of took us and a lot of retailers, a lot of suppliers off, you know, by surprise a little bit. So I'm going to go through the numbers and talk to you about what's going on here, and then we'll save some time for Q&A later. So net sales were $60.8 million versus $52.9 million. That's about a 15% increase. We had two retailers who took some extra Black Friday SKU. We also had one particular retailer who we did fulfillment for. We also got in their brick-and-mortar stores. And then there was continued growth in the United Kingdom and the European community. So those things contributed mostly to the increases in sales. Of note, within those net sales was the net revenue from music sales, which increased approximately 33%. So the trend remains positive, and it becomes more and more of a factor in our profitability as we move along. Gross profit was $15.7 million versus $13.9 million last year. That's approximately 12.9% increase, and primarily due to the increase commensurate with the increase in net sales. Our gross profit margin was 25.8% versus 26.1% last year. Just a very slight decrease there. We had cost increases in older products, but they most of it got offset by a better margin on new products that we came out with during the year. So consequently, the 0.003 difference between the gross profits in the 2 years are very comparable. Selling expenses, and here's where we start to see the effects of Toys R Us sneak in here a little bit. We spent $4.9 million on selling expenses versus $5 million last year. Now, ordinarily, you would think since the net sales went up so significantly that your selling expenses would go up too. Well, basically what happened is we did a reversal of approximately $600,000 worth of selling expenses for the write-off of Toys R Us. They did not take these accrued co-ops and advertising allowance and marketing allowances. And we've written everything off on the books at year-end dealing with Toys R Us. So had not taking that into account, we would have spent approximately $5.5 million on sales and marketing expenses versus $5.0 million in the prior year. As a percentage of sales, it would have been approximately 8.4% this year, as opposed to the prior year, 8.7% of net sales. So the selling expenses remain pretty much in line with as a percentage of sales, excluding the effect of Toys R Us. General administrative expenses, I split those out. The bad debt expense relating to Toys R Us was a significant item, so we decided to add a line item to show the bad debt expense as a separate line item. So looking at general administrative expense, we spent $6.4 million versus $5.8 million last year. That's about a 10% increase. Compensation was approximately $300,000 of that. We hired some additional people, again, to take care of some of the growth aspects, especially in the sales and marketing area. Also, the Hong Kong service charges from our related parties increased by approximately $100,000. And this was also related to the growth that we saw needing, requiring more personnel and help from our parent company in Hong Kong with regards to services related specifically to our business, our growing business. And the remaining differential was primarily due to other variable expenses, pretty commensurate with the increase in sales. Income from the bad debt expense. We have a special line for bad debt expense. $3.2 million bad debt expense versus less than $100,000 last year. Toys R Us was $3.1 million worth of that differential. So that's where the big effect showed up in the financials with regards to the Toys R Us bankruptcy. Income from operations, despite the Toys R Us bankruptcy, and like I said, everything on the balance sheet has been written off. Everything in the financial statements have been written off as of 3/31 as it relates to Toys R Us, so there is no more risk on the balance sheet or the profit and loss statement. The income from the income from operations, despite all that, was still $1 million versus approximately $3 million in the prior year. And our net income was $200,000 versus $1.7 million in the prior year. We should take a look at that net income number as far as income taxes are concerned. With the passing of the new Tax Cuts Act of 2018, there are a couple of things that affected us. One is that since we're fiscal year and the president did sign the law into law prior to the year, prior to our fiscal year end, then we had a tax rate, an effective tax rate drop from approximately 33% last year down to 28.4%. That's a blended rate. However, the tax rate going down to 21%, we had to take a look at our net operating loss carry forward or a deferred tax asset, if you will, on the books. It was based on a 34% tax rate, but since we are now at a 21% effective tax rate, we had to take a one-time valuation decrease of approximately $350,000 against that asset. So that's a one-time charge. It's a cash-only charge. I mean, a non-cash charge only, and it hit the bottom line for approximately $350,000. So the breakdown of income taxes was approximately $150,000 of tax expense based on the 28.4% effective tax rate, and then the additional difference of $350,000 was for the one-time charge and the valuation decrease in valuation in the tax reserve. Just to highlight some things in the balance sheet, our accounts receivable dropped from $1.7 million last year to $1.1 last year, reflect pretty much Toys R Us and the write-off. Normally at this time of year, we would still have some collections due from, you know, or at that time of year, March 31, we'd have some collections due from Toys R Us, but having done the write-off, it brought the receivables down to 1.1. The inventory increased from 5.4 million to 8.1 million. We had Toys R Us, obviously, once they announced their bankruptcy proceedings, we got more conservative in terms of what we shipped them, and also we had some inventory that we had ordered that was earmarked for them that they did not take, obviously, when they decided to take the liquidation. So normally this would be inventory that they would be replenishing here around this time of year that we would have to have in stock for them. It's not, none of the, there are a few other retailers as well that were a little bit heavy in their inventory at the end of the year, so they didn't take as much replenishment stock as normal. The good news, if there's anything in here, is that even though the inventory was built based on some projections from Toys R Us, this was not inventory that was exclusive to Toys R Us. So this is inventory that's going to move in the normal course of business during the year this year. So we anticipate getting down to normal levels in the future on inventory for this coming fiscal year. Accounts payable, the accounts payable went from $1.4 million to $1.6 million. Not much of a difference there. We are in good shape with all of our vendors. We're at the end of the year, so the accounts payables was relatively steady. Related party debt, we were able to reduce that by $1.8 million. We received a bank term note from PNC Bank. When we did our note renewal during the year, our finance agreement also called for an additional term note to help pay down that that intercompany or related party debt. It was $1 million, and it was exclusively used to pay off that debt. In addition, there's another $900,000 of related trade receivables offset against trade payables receivables exceeded the payables in this case. So the total reduction in debt was $1.8 million. It should be noted that due to the situation with Toys R Us and our cash position, that our parent company has in fact reimbursed us for a lot of those excess receivables over payables and has paid back approximately $900,000 to us in cash over the first 3 months of this current fiscal year. So they helped us with our cash flow, and the bank, the asset-based financing agreement we have with the bank is intact and working well, and we have sufficient between the related party cash and the bank financing line. We have sufficient capital and cash, we believe, to make all our operational payments through the next 12 months. Our deferred tax asset, which was on the books at $1.5 million last year, is now $1 million, a drop of 0.5 or $500,000 approximately. And as I explained earlier, $150,000 of that was basically an accrual for income tax at the normal 28.4 blended rate. And the other $350,000 was due to the one-time write-off of the deferred tax asset due to the tax the new tax law that was introduced this year. Those are my comments for this year. I mean, it was an excellent year from a top line perspective. The issue with Toys R Us, which took a lot of us by storm, had it not been for that, we would have seen a record year, the best that I've seen here in my 10 years. So all things considered, we were strong enough to bear the brunt of Toys R Us and still walk away here with a good business going forward. And that's my report. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Lionel. And just one other thing I wanted to add to what Lionel was saying is, had it not been for the Toys R Us bankruptcy and liquidation and the $3.1 million bad debt charge that we had to take, that literally wiped out about 5 cents in earnings per share from our bottom line this year. So I think it shows a lot about the momentum that we have this year and the success of karaoke in the market, had it not been for one significant event that occurred during the year. So, with that being said, I want to turn it over to Bernardo, who will talk a little bit about the retail landscape and some of the wins we saw this past year.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Last call we had, I touched on some highlights that we had in the retail market, so I'm not going to get too into it. I'll just give you a high-level overview of the success, and I think with the top-line growth sales, it shows that our distribution continued to strengthen across the market, and also our relationship with each of the retailers continues to grow. For example, Walmart, we showed SKUs in the toy department, and also we had an item in the CE department. And we show success on both sides. Normally, where the average retail price for the Walmart business is somewhere around $50 to $55 a SKU. They were able to carry a SKU that was $99 and were successful with it. So it showed us that there was an appetite there for a higher margin or a higher priced item in the department. So we continue to strengthen our business there at Walmart. It continued last year and it bodes well for this year again. There were some other highlights that were good. I mean, the clubs continue to excel. Those are higher price items that we carry. In Sam's Club, we carried a kids item at an entry level, and we carried an above $170 SKU. Both were successful, sold through very well. And because of it, we've gotten some additional commitments this year from Sam's Club. Costco continued their success in karaoke. Although they're decreasing space for music, they're not doing so for karaoke, which shows positive signs for us. I think we all touched on the base with Toys R Us. I mean, Toys R Us for us was a huge account, like it was for many other vendors. But for us, it allowed us to show the breadth of the line on a brick and mortar level. We had anywhere between 12 to 16 feet of space there. And we had planned accordingly. So we, you know, like Lionel mentioned on some inventory, we had brought some inventory for them that we eventually end up pulling back or not allocating towards them. The good thing is that those inventory are good products, moving forward that we don't have to discount, that we don't have to, take a haircut on. It's going to take a little bit longer to sell, but we have found some placements, for the upcoming year on those inventories. So, come 2019, I think we'll see the inventory levels back to normal. But with that being said, even though Toys R Us did announce at an opportune time of September, which did scare some of the consumers about returns and about the service that they were going to receive from a business that was in bankruptcy, they still had a good successful year selling through our karaoke. As a matter of fact, when they announced in March, although there was some liquidations, one of the better selling items in liquidation was karaoke. We saw them sell close to 30,000 pieces in 3 weeks right after their announcement. In March timeframe, which is normally a slow season for us. So, you know, it showed that with the right marketing, with the right pricing and everything, people are still shopping karaoke off season as well. Amazon continued the uptake, in business. It was a difficult year with Amazon. But we did end up having about 25-30% increase in the Amazon business there year over year. The difficultness was that there were some other dot-com competitors that were going after their business pretty intensely and discounted products, you know, not only our products but across the board, which did create some disruption in the market. Unfortunately, you know, we didn't have to fund that disruption in the market, so it was good for us, but it did cost us to take some steps to assure that Amazon was going to be smooth for this upcoming year in 2018 as well. I think we finally had those discussions with Amazon, and we have a good plan moving forward as to how to protect them if some of that disruption is still existing in the marketplace this year. Internationally, it was also a success. Smith's Toys, you know, which is the item that, I mean, the retailer that we focus for in the UK continues to grow. We grew our presence there from 2 feet all the way up to 6 feet of space, and which bodes well. They're a well-run retailer, and they're making a lot of noise. As a matter of fact, they just bought some of the Toys R Us in the Scandinavian and then also in Austria as well. In Austria as well. So, you know, as they continue to penetrate different markets that were dominated by Toys R Us in the past and converting those stores over to Smith's Toys, our presence will continue to grow with them as well. We got into one of the top retailers, also Top Toy in Scandinavia. and we started out with a test for one SKU. This year, we are going to get four SKUs in there as well. So our presence and focus has been a lot of how do we expand our business, not only from a domestic standpoint, but also from an international standpoint. So we've been attending a lot of different conferences that focus on international distributors and international retailers. We visited the Hong Kong electronic show that caters to some of those international customers. We just came back from London in May, where we continue to meet those customers as well. And we have last year Japan launched one of our items. They had, you know, pretty good success. Not what we intended right off the gate, but what we found out is what we clearly found out in Japan through trial and error is that the consumer base in Japan is skews older than the U.S., where the U.S. teenagers and kids are a heavy focus of receiving karaoke as gifts. In Japan, the population is a little bit older, is older concentrated. So we're looking at delivering this year or next year, making sure that we deliver a product that addresses that segment of the population. And our Japanese partners have taken it upon themselves to do some infomercials and also change the technology from a CD plus graphic to a DVD technology, which addresses what the media is in the Japanese market. So that should bode well for us as well. We have some introductions into the Australian market this year, so we're back into the Australian market in this upcoming year after being absent from it for close to 3 years. Still doing business in South Africa. We're expanding into France, Italy, and Spain. So we're taking the approach that, you know, the Toys R Us business is not going to come immediately from domestic distribution. So we're going to concentrate on that international distribution as well as Latin America, which we signed on some distributors there that's going to help us in Mexico and some of the other regions as well. And I think that's going to help offset some of the Toys R Us business while the rest of the domestic market figures out how they're going to go after that Toys R Us market share. We've heard from Target and from Walmart that they are going after that business. Karaoke has been one of the categories that's been identified as a potential growth in their efforts to grow that business. So we're positioned well. It may not happen as quickly as we want it to, but we are positioned well to move forward and try to supplement that lost business through different avenues. I think, you know, with that being said, you know, we're still seeing some growth on .com, which follows the pattern with the consumer behavior. So we're addressing those things by upgrading our content online, making sure that we have instructional videos, that we're making it much easier for the consumer to shop. We've also partnered with Shopify, which allows us to participate in affiliate programs, which is a very trendy way of increasing your business, which is partnering up with bloggers, with magazines that are doing editorial on your product, and quickly the consumer is able to buy with just a click of a button, which Shopify makes that available for us to do so through Instagram, Facebook, and these third-party websites. So as long as we're driving traffic to those places and we maintain a pretty good conversion rate, we should see also an increased business from that business model as well. So, with that being said, I'll turn it back over to Gary, and I'll stick around towards the end if you guys have any additional questions.
Perfect. All right. I do want to save a couple minutes here for questions, but just wanted to make a couple of final comments before I do that. We view the Toys R Us event is really just a short-term blip on our long-term business plans. If anything, it's forced us to pursue more aggressively the international business that we may have otherwise done. But we do believe we have a strong brand that can truly be a global brand. We are also excited about a couple of positive things that are coming down the pipeline in terms of new products. We have our new Singing Machine Studio product that will be available in our second quarter this year. That's the new product featuring the Genuine Auto-Tune pitch correction software that will be available. And in terms of music subscriptions, we saw a 33% growth in music subscription revenue this last fiscal year. And that does not even include the release of the brand new apps that we've announced recently. So we've completely rehauled the Android app and the iOS app, which are brand new, and I'm seeing good responses there. So a lot of good things. You know, despite Toys R Us, we're not backing down. We're still actively engaged in product development and continuing to work on new technology to make karaoke more and more relevant in the future. So with that being said, I'd like to turn it over now for questions.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone phone. And we will pause a moment to allow questions to queue. And our first question comes from Mike Schellinger with MicroCap Growth. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello. I noticed there was a comment in, I believe, the 10-K about streaming product for 2019. What can you tell us about what you're doing in streaming?
So we're actively working on a new streaming product for this coming for the 2019 year. It will be a fully integrated, embedded Wi-Fi streaming solution that will basically not require any other accessories to go along with it. So you won't need a phone or a tablet. It'll fully incorporate all of the streaming functionality right into the device with access to the karaoke library right there. And it'll work on a pretty similar business model in terms of subscription-based and working with Stingray as our content partner.
Okay, great. Also regarding the kids business, how would you sort of characterize where it's at and you know, where it's headed over maybe the next year or two?
Yeah, thanks for asking. You know, the kids business, obviously Toys R Us is a big part of that. They had dedicated some pretty good space for it. So that might have slowed it down a little bit, but actually one of the big promotional items for Target this year is going to be our flagship kids item for the year. You know, Walmart carries a kids item. Amazon has dedicated a whole section for our kids line, and we just met with them, and they're looking at ways to how to cross promote and with preschool products. So that's good. Internationally as well, the kids has been our focus, you know, because most of the people that we're reaching out to right now internationally are toy people, and they like those entry price points and those easy to use products. So most of the interest has been on the kids item from an international standpoint. So we're moving forward. We have a good set of assortment right now, about four or five items that are solid, and we're launching our flagship now come August on this queue. So you'll see a lot of press about that, and you'll see a lot of good feedback on this flagship item that we have created.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Thanks, Mike.
Our next question comes from private investor Miles Pitts. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello, fellas.
Hey, Miles.
Morning, Miles.
Doing good. I just wondered, with Toys R Us not being in business more, how that will affect our revenue numbers on this year. And all this tariff talk about China, how will that affect us?
Well, I'll start with the tariff talk because that was a big concern. The good news is the Trump administration has announced a list of all of the products that they plan to put a tariff on that are products that are manufactured in China. And we've reviewed that list, and none of our products are currently on that list. So for the time being, we're not there's no exposure to us from that tariff situation. And I think they're focusing really more on sort of high-tech type products, so I wouldn't expect that we would make that list, but we are certainly monitoring it pretty closely. And then in terms of the Toys R Us revenue, I mean, obviously they were a large account to us. We're aggressively going out there looking for ways to pick that business back up. And I, you know, as Bernardo said, Target's made announcements. They're going after the toy business. Walmart's going after the toy business. A lot of people are stepping up to fill that gap. So we do see some areas where I think some of those retailers can make up some of the difference. But our outlook right now is that we don't see all of our current retailers filling the full gap of what Toys R Us filled last year. So I think that remains to be a struggle, but we're working aggressively, especially internationally, to try to fill that void.
Okay. Sound like we've got plenty of luck. It's all bad, though. Appreciate the job you fellas are doing.
All right. Thanks, Miles.
Thank you, Miles. Appreciate it.
And as a reminder, to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone phone. Our next question comes from private investor Jason Hirschman. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Morning, Jason. Doing well, thanks.
Oh, thanks. Quick question for you, Lionel. Maybe, and then another question maybe for Bernardo and the rest of the guys. If you could just address I noticed the obligations to customers for returns and allowances was about $445,000 as opposed to $38,000 in the previous year. I was wondering maybe you could talk to why that number is so much higher this year than last year.
Sure. The obligations stem from the retailers. Pretty much when we're dealing with the retailers, they pay like clockwork. This is not an issue, a collection issue from them. But once, because we are seasonal, once they have paid everything in, once they start returning and taking co-ops and other things, there becomes a point in time where potentially we owe them money because they've paid up all of their open invoices and they have nothing left to apply their credits for returns and for co-ops that they haven't quite taken yet there. Last year, we got into a situation where we had some pretty significant balances of open invoices due from customers that they were able to apply these against. This year it was a matter of replenishment orders that they normally would place in the fourth quarter weren't as strong as they were in prior years. So consequently, we ended up with less receivables, if you will, or open invoices for them to apply their credits against. And that's why the balance, it's basically due to a couple of retailers in that situation.
Okay, and I appreciate the additional color on that. And maybe I could turn to the AutoTune product that you guys are coming out with, I think, in the second quarter. And is that going to be, I mean, it's a much higher priced product. Is that going to be going to retailers, you know, domestically like Walmart or Costco or the club market, or is it going to go to a different segment? And how are you basically going to be distributing that?
You know, that's a good question. Target is picking it up in certain stores, so you'll see it there beginning in September, but. We are taking a different approach on it. We're making it more of a launch through .com. You know, like I said, you know, we're trying to figure out how is everything going to shake out for the year, in terms of how the space are being allocated and things like that. So we thought that this year we would take an approach of launching it So you'll see a pre-launch campaign on Amazon. We've signed up with them on this pre-launch campaign where they provide to us a suite of marketing services to deliver this item. Because it is a different price point. I mean, it's an over $200 price point. It's going to hit the market at $249. So it's a price point that's a little bit higher than we have been comfortable in the past. But I think it's going to go a long way to reestablishing Singing Machine as a premium brand, not only an entry level brand. So we're taking that approach of a couple of retailers are going to take it, maybe some higher end retailers. Like for example, Sam Ash, which is a retailer we hadn't been in the past. They're going to carry it, because it's the right customer base for it. And then we're going to take an approach of seeing what's the demographic that's interested in it. What we think is, we've been pretty good at identifying and selling to our core demographic, which is that, 35 to 55 female consumer who's buying for the family or buying for a kid. So now I think the studio will be one of the first items that addresses that 18 to 44 market of somebody who's looking to buy a machine for themselves. So we're going to rely a lot on the Amazon data. They have some data that could be made available to us to see what the consumer patterns are on it, and then take that approach, and then 2019 go at it with that data and present that to the retailers.
Okay, I appreciate all the color there, and good luck in 2019. You guys got really a tough hand with Toys R Us, but I really admire the way you're handling it. So good luck, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks. Jason.
Our next question comes from private investor Bill Chapman. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, guys. Could you comment on these continual stories about Toys R Us being brought back on a smaller scale? I saw in the Wall Street Journal last week that the founder was looking to raise money. Could you give me your comment what you hear is going on with that and what the possibilities are?
Yeah, there's been a lot of rumors and a lot of things that have gone on behind the scenes. It's not been easy for anybody to try and keep this thing alive. Apparently, there's been some offers from a group called Sycamore to keep some stores open. Target wanted the Babies R Us situation. The owner of the Bratz franchise, MGA, made a bid, as well to keep the stores open. This is another in a long line of proposals that's going to stand up to be they have a challenge in front of them. The next 30 days, apparently, they have about another 30 days to get their bid together and get it to a point where it'll be acceptable to the court or the main creditors. And the biggest, from what I'm hearing, the biggest toughness on this particular deal is, it's not the creditors committee so much as it is the lenders. They want their money, and they believe, true or not, that they could get their money quicker, faster, and more by total liquidation than there is trying to keep anything alive. So anything that's come across the plate, they've been very negative against it, and they pushed the other side to keep it in liquidation and to get their money out, and that's the way it's been. So, as we're hopeful that might happen at this stage of the game, a couple of things. One, I think they've got the former owner has a challenge. He's got the right people behind him, but so does Target and everybody else. My opinion is it's going to be a very, very tough challenge to see that happen. Even if he does, I don't know how much of an impact he can make for this current year, because it's getting pretty late for suppliers to go out, lead times and stuff to get them supplied for Christmas. So that's my opinion on that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, I think, did you want to touch on Canada? By the way, Canada is still moving forward, business as usual,
yeah.
and we still have a good presence in Canada, Toys R Us Canada. So at least that's some sort of good news that Canada is moving forward and continuing.
Yeah,
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Gerald Katerina, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, could you please talk about how Japan, the market in Japan, is different from the United States, and how you are, and how your sales are going there?
Like I said, the sales in Japan, I think it was a brand new market for them. Just to give you an update, the Japanese market for a very long time was driven by people going out to the karaoke bars. And the main product that was there was a microphone product that played MIDI music once you connected to the TV. When we launched the product, the partner there is HappyNet, which is a division of Bandai. What they know is toys. So they took a middle of the ground product that retails normally for about $69, $79 here in the U.S. and they figured out that over 70% of the population does karaoke, but they were going about it to concentrate on mostly kids. What they quickly found out was that the population that was in the market to buy a karaoke machine was much, much older, and the competition there were using celebrities to do infomercials that were influential to a much older audience. So although the product came in late and it sold through fairly well through Amazon and some other retailers that they have, they are refocusing their efforts into hopefully delivering higher price items and items that could address that older demographic that is the ultimate consumer for karaoke in Japan. So it was a good launch. They did a lot of marketing behind it. They even did a commercial. But they found out that the path to success there is to have a more balanced approach, not only for kids, but to also address adults that wanted to buy the product on themselves. So we are making some small changes in the technology of the item, and they are looking at now some higher price items to bring in as well. I hope that addresses your question.
There are no more questions at this time.
Okay, great. Well, I appreciate everybody joining us today to talk about our fiscal 2018 year-end results. We are working diligently in terms of fiscal 2019, and look forward to talking to everybody again on our next first quarter earnings call. Thank you, everybody.